Well, I'm just really honored and glad to be here. As we was traveling up here, you know, I was just telling my husband how much I was enjoying the scenery and the ride. And he looked over at me and said, yeah, because you're not driving. I thought that was kind of funny because I thought about it. I said, that's true. I'm really not driving. But then I did encourage him, and I told him that, you know, the next trip we take, I do like to drive, so I'd be glad to take the steering wheel also and drive, amen? So I'm excited to be here. You know, I'm just really, who was the lady that prophesied about there's a new breath, that she was talking about the breath of God and the life of God? I thought she was going to keep talking and she was going to give my message away. Amen. But I'm just really excited about the time we're in as the body of Christ. Let's just go ahead and pray over this word. But I just really believe this is a word of impartation. I believe this word's going to shift us and change us. And prayfully, it's going to cause us to see differently than we've ever seen before. Amen. Father, I just thank you and praise you for this word. I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for an impartation. I thank you for a shift and a change in your people. Lord, I thank you for let your word impart in such a deepness into our heart and our minds that we will be changed forevermore, that we will see truly how you see the times and the seasons that we're in and how you see our lives and how everything you hold precious in your sight and precious in your hands. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for your anointed word as it goes forth. We thank you for those who have an ear, have all ear to hear and to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's just really amazing to me that when you hear the word of prophecy or you hear someone prophesying and ministering the word of God, it's amazing to me that I still, you know, people don't look at that, but that's a miracle. It's a miracle that God can actually speak and use a human being to bring forth his word. His word, it brings forth life. It gives direction. It gives purpose, you know. And I remember that so many times in my life where I needed a word of God, where I was dry, where I felt like I didn't have hope, where I felt like I was discouraged. And I don't care. Whenever anyone gives me a prophetic word, I don't care how small or how insignificant it may seem to somebody else, I got my phone and I'm recording. I got my iPad, I'm recording. I got my computer, I'm recording it. Why? Because that's God speaking. That's God speaking over my life. And he wants me to know how he sees me. He wants me to know that I'm valuable and that I'm important to him. So I don't want you ever to get familiar with the prophetic word. Our prophetic houses, because they are such a treasure in this day and hour, people of God. You'd be surprised how many people over the last 15 years don't even have prophecy going forth in their house, or they left the prophetic movement altogether, and their people are dry, and the churches are divided or split up. I remember in 2008, me and my husband went to this very prosperous church in Missouri. It was growing. It was such a dynamic church, and it was just moving with the Spirit of God. It actually was a CI church, and then all of a sudden, he decided that he heard something that he wanted to do differently, and he left his vision. You know how many know that you can leave your vision that God has called you to, the purpose that he called your church to be at, or your ministry, or something he's called you to do in your life? You can lose your vision. He lost his vision. And the next thing you know, it was less than a year later, his whole church, probably about 700 people, was dissolved. It was just gone. There was nothing there whatsoever. And so, you know, we have to understand that the prophetic word gives life. It brings value to the house of God. So never be complacent when you hear a word of God, even on Sunday mornings or whenever, because this is a time of gathering. Say gathering. God is gathering his people together. And I believe when God, someone else mentioned and talked about the gold, when we got the prophetic word, he was talking about gold, you know. And that's something because we've been seeing gold dust. But Chuck Pierce prophesied this year how God's gold is going to be falling down. And even as we gather together, expect God's miracles, expect God's gold to fall down. As it falls down from heaven, his anointing, as it comes down, get in it. Don't run from it, but get in it. There's going to be supernatural healings, the manifestation of God's glory and his power coming forth like never before now in this day and hour. And we have to be a people of God that's ready. Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Amen. We got to be ready. So this is like he said this Friday night, it's like a pool of shalom. It's a pool where you can come in and get refreshed. You can come in and hear something you haven't heard before. It's a way that you can come in and get dipped, you know. We need that. After being a week long out in the world, you're going to need to be dipped. Because they will convince you you're not who you are. They will tell you that they don't believe who you are. They will tell you that God's not here and God's not real. So we need to be dipped around like-hearted and like-minded believers. We need to be able to come together and hear the word of God and be able to rejoice in it. Amen? So we can't come familiar with the word of God, but we have to embrace it. I'm going to be speaking out of Ezekiel 37 because the Lord really put this on my heart about dry bones tonight. Amen? So I want you to understand that God's ultimate purpose for the saints is to possess his kingdom. We are called to be kingdom possessors, to possess the kingdom, to possess and to take authority and have rule and have reign. And that means we're going to have to war. We're going to have to fight. So many Christians today, you mentioned the word fight, and they like, seriously? I mean, you know, God's a warrior. If you know, he was a fighter. He fought along beside his people. He gave his people strategy on how to fight. But we look at this God that's like, as Bishop Hammond calls, like a Santa Claus Jesus. We look at this God like, oh, he's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. He is. He's multifaceted. He's actually all those things. But I'm actually glad that my God is a warrior. Because I need somebody to fight alongside me sometimes. I need somebody who has my back. Amen? And so we, the people of God, have to realize that God has your back in this hour. I want you to look at somebody and say, God has your back in this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. So prophetic words speak breath and life back into you. There was a situation I'm going to share with you later. It was in 2004 that me and my husband went through, and it was kind of like we were dry bones. Our whole church was dry bones, and our leadership had to actually shift out and change, and we didn't know where to go, what to do. But I just kind of want to share with you, even as I tell you the story about Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, we're going to look at, we was at a position and place where we knew God had called us to be prophets in the house, but we didn't know what was going to happen after our pastor got removed. And so we was praying for the people and praying that God would give them a pastor, because my husband says, I don't want to be your pastor. And not because he didn't love him, but because he knew we was prophets of the house. And he's like, you know, I don't want to be the pastor. We will find you a pastor. We will love you, but this is not my calling. And so we decided not to, but say God had another plan. God had another plan, and later we became their pastors also. but it was amazing because even in that, we were so dry, the Lord woke my husband up and gave him, and started speaking to him and started telling him, I want you to go to Ezekiel 37, and I want you to prophesy over these people. Because after our pastor, it was all known in the community. It was like a disgrace. The people, we didn't want to go to the store or show our faces. It was so bad. It's kind of like, run at night, midnight, going to the store. Don't let anybody know you're in there, going into the store. Maybe they won't see us in there. And so we did all these crazy things to not have to approach people or hear people say, boy, y'all going to that crazy church out there? So we would do that. But I want you to know, when God gave that word to him and said, Ezekiel 37, I want you to prophesy life over these dry bones. Because God says, I have a purpose and I've always had a purpose for this ministry. So many times we think that things are man-made, but, you know, that ministry was God's ministry. It was birthed from God's vision. And because a man may get off track or someone may get off track, it doesn't mean that it wasn't still God's purpose or plan. So he told him to prophesy over us. And so one Sunday morning, he started prophesying over us. And I mean, there's something that shifted in the heavenly, something that shifted in every member that was still there in that church. And we started breathing again. We started having confidence again. We started having assurance again that God was with us and that God was for us. Amen? And so many times in the body of Christ, we don't know that God is with us and he's also for us. Amen? And so he was with us and through that time, and he took us through it, and then he connected us with Christian International. And it was such a beautiful thing on how he led us. But then over the years, I started to see how God prophetically had always been instrumental in my life. How many of you actually have known from the time I was young, I start seeing God's hands of provision. I start seeing God's hands over my life in situations where I should have been in trouble, or I should have gotten myself in maybe some dire situations, how God got me out of them. And then I started seeing where God, not even knowing even when I wasn't saved, how he was still guiding me and directing me to the place that I need to be there. And it was amazing, even in that time, that when people had left, some people left the church, it was amazing those people who didn't have the word of God over them became dry. They became dry, they became brittle, they became bitter, they became angry, and many of them didn't even go to church anymore. They left church completely because they was looking at man instead of looking at God. I want you to always keep your eye on God. Look at your neighbors and always keep your eye on God. Yeah. See, God's going to use a man because that's the only thing he has in this earth realm to use. We're going to be his hands. We're going to be his feet in this earth realm. But you have to understand he has to work through imperfect vessels. There's no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. There's no perfect person. But what I do want the Holy Spirit is to be able to use me, to allow the gift of God to use me. But I also want my character to be in line with the gift. Amen? And that's what you find many times in the body of Christ. You have somebody very anointed, very called by God, but their characters are shady. And then it gives God a bad reputation. We know the people of God, we got to make sure that our character is in line with our gifting. Amen? And so that's my desire as a woman of God, is to be everything God called me to be. Spirit, soul, body. Amen? But let's look at Ezekiel, because this is where I believe the body of Christ is. I heard the Lord saying even tonight that some of you are in this position where you have like hope deferred. You came in looking for a word, or you came in saying, I need something to steer me to the next level. And I want you to know there's been a shift in the atmosphere. There's been a shift in the heavenlies, even if you don't know it, because we moved into a new Hebraic year of 5777. And I love being able to follow the Hebraic calendar, because even in that, I've found life and purpose and direction by God. You know, this is the year God said he's separating the wheat from the chaff. Amen. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. So if you've been in church and you've been saying, oh, that person ain't right, that person, you ain't got to worry about it, because God's, I'm going to take care of it this year. Because in 5777, that last seven represent Iron Zion, which is a sword. And so there's a sword coming down from heaven, like a sword. It's coming down from heaven. And so God is going to, it's a crossroad where man is going to be at, where God's going to cut away things that need to be cut away. So there's things in your life that you may not have been able to overcome that this year you'll be able to overcome. Amen. This is a season. So from October to next year, October, there's things in your life. I don't care if it's, there's addictions. I don't care if there's anger issues. I don't care if there's unforgiveness issues. Whatever you're struggling with, if you will allow the Holy Spirit, if you will submit to the Holy Spirit and let him know, Lord, I want you to help me this year get rid of these things, he will come in and he will do it. Amen. Because he's a God that will honor his word. Amen. It said he will honor his word above his name. And so he will do it if we ask him. But we have to submit to him, yield to him, and allow him to do those things inside of us. Amen? So this is a year of that sword coming down, cutting away, cutting you loose from some things, even some false obligations. I heard God said some false obligations that some of you have in here that God says, I'm going to cut away. Amen? There's some false obligations with families. There's some false obligations with friends. God says, I'm going to cut them away this year if you allow me to cut them away. Amen? So hear the word of the Lord. That's for somebody out there. And you feel like you're obligated to do these things. But God said, no, you're not. Amen. My husband one time told me I was feeling like I was obligated to help some people in my family. Well, I'm always helping somebody because I love helping people. But sometimes you can just not see people taking advantage of that or using that. And so thank God my husband was able to see that. And he said, you know what? If Diane ceased to exist, or if you was never here, would God not take care of them? And there was something that woke up in me. It's like, whoa. That is true. If I ceased to exist, was God not going to provide for them? Yes, he was. And yes, he is. And so, you know, I really found out that I was kind of enabling them, and I was kind of taking the place of God when God was trying to get a hold of them anyway to deal with them. And sometimes we can do that in people's lives. We can be so trying to help them, protect them, and help encourage them or build them up. When God says, would you get out of the way and let me take care of this? Because I can't get to them to that place of despair. I can't get to them to the place of they need to trust me. I can't get them to the place where they need to be lowly, that I can, they can call my name, not you. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And sometimes we need that. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need him. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need him every day. Let's look at Ezekiel 37, verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Say, very dry. Very dry. So you know stuff is dry, it's brittle, it's cracking, it's dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Now God's asking Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I like his answer. And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Can you imagine? He said, oh, Lord, you know, you're the one who brought me here. You transported me here. You got me here. Now you're going to ask me, can they live? I like that. That'd be something I would do. I don't know. Lord, you know. But sometimes, you know, we're not real with God. Even though God knows everything about us, we want to come to him in prayer many times, and we don't want to admit or come clean with him on everything we need to come clean with him in. And here's the Lord saying, this is the year you're coming clean. Look at your neighbor and say, this is the year you're coming clean. It's just amazing how many times we pray, and it's like we're praying to God and we tell him things, but like he don't know what's inside of our hearts. It's that God knows every hidden thing inside a man. So every hidden thing inside, I always just say, Lord, whatever it is, reveal it to me. Just show me and help me get over it. Just work with me, Lord. Don't give up on me. You know, that's one thing I love about the Lord, because his word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're a believer, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to quit on you. And then I love it because I look in the Bible and I think, God, I don't feel so bad after looking at David, after looking at so many people in the Bible, Abraham. I mean, you know, look at all the stuff that he did outside God, out of his will, you know. But yet God still kept working with man. Why? Because if God has a call and a purpose on your life, he is going to keep working with you. He's going to keep working with you till you get to that place where you're going to trust him and you're going to fulfill that purpose. Amen? He's never going to quit on you. So I want you to feel like, oh, man, because this is a year even where if you've gotten discouraged or if you felt like, I feel like giving up, I'm just tired of going on, I want you to know, don't throw the towel in. This is not the year to throw the towel in, because God's supernatural grace is upon you this year. That's another thing in 57:77. It says God's supernatural grace is upon you. So what you couldn't do, you will be able to do. You will be able to do. Write that down. God's supernatural grace upon you this year. So your anointing is going to a new level. Your gifting is going to a new level. Come on, people of God. You got to be excited about these things. This is something God has promised us. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to receive those things. I'm going to have those things. I'm going to pull those things down from heaven. You know, when we hear the word, we got to pull down what belongs to us. You know, we have an inheritance. We have promises from God. And we need to start saying, Lord, I want those things now. Lord, I've been faithful. I've been obedient. You know, you've been a faithful giver. If you've been a faithful tither, you know, I've been calling God to remember some of those things. Why? Because I have a testimony. Come on, some of you got a testimony of your stance, of how you've been toward God. We have a testimony that we can use in this day and hour for God's glory. We have a testimony to call down from heaven and say, Lord, I need these things now, and I've been a faithful servant unto you. I've been a doer of your word, Lord. I've been a faithful giver and tither, Lord. I've done these things for your kingdom. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. God said, call me to remembrance of the things I've done. Call me to remembrance. Okay. And this is a time God's going to show himself strong on your behalf. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to the next level. Because there's a shift in the heavens. Because things have shifted, then I have to shift as a believer. I have to shift. And so I'm not looking at myself the way I did last month. I'm not looking at myself even 2 days ago, because I'm going from glory to glory. And I'm getting smarter. Why? Because I'm trusting in God more. I'm looking to God more for the answers. You know, me and my husband's one thing. Your marriage has a purpose. How many of you know? Raise your hand. Do you know your marriage has a purpose? Your marriage has a purpose. You know, and everything, even in that, prophetically, God called our marriage to be a prophetic marriage. And people go, oh, it's funny, because I remember we were talking to this one couple one time. They go, we don't even believe in those prophetic marriages that people talk about. And I'm thinking, we told you a year ago we had a prophetic marriage. But it was kind of funny how people are. But, you know, the Bible talks about prophetic marriages. But yet people today can't believe in that. But, you know, my thing about that is my husband prayed. He prayed, in, I think it was back in the 1990s when he was called to the ministry to be a pastor in 1990. And he was told to pray for a companion. He prayed for me. Wasn't that special? He actually prayed and God showed him that it was me. And he didn't believe it. So, oh, no, can't be that girl. Can't be that girl. Yeah. And then 5 months later, I was in my prayer closet, because back then I had to be religious and holy. So I was in my prayer closet with the door shut. And the Lord showed me a vision. And I saw the vision. I saw his face. And, of course, in all my spirituality, I started rebuking the name of Jesus. Because I thought, this can't be God. This is my prayer time. I'm serious about God. I'm not thinking about no man. So I start rebuking it. But it was amazing how, you know, my pastor's wife, she called like 15 minutes after that. And she said, what are you doing? I said, well, I just got through praying. And what do you do when you see somebody's face when you're praying? And she said, what do you see? So I explained it to her. First, I didn't want to explain it to her, because I don't want to be kicked out of the church. I thought the first thing I say, oh, she's looking for a man. No, I wasn't looking for a man. So I said, please don't kick me out of the church. So after about half an hour, I finally told her I saw his face. So she said, I want you to pray and ask the Lord why you saw his face. So I prayed, got back in my closet, and then I prayed and I asked the Lord. It was so clear, like I'm talking to you, when the Lord says he is to be your future husband. And I thought, oh, my God, am I hearing this right? He says, yes, he is to be your future husband. I thought, my God, okay. So I called her back and told her, and she just started laughing. I said, why are you laughing? She said, because 5 months ago, he received you as his companion. I thought, oh, my God. my God. But do you know it's amazing how even though you have a prophetic marriage, how people will try to talk you out of that? How people will try to tell you they don't exist today. How people will tell you that God couldn't have done that. But it's amazing how many prophetic words that people didn't even know us. Like Cindy Jacobs just in April prophesied to us. She said, your marriage is a model marriage. Your marriage, you're called by God. So you're called by God. Your marriage is called by God. Another confirmation. We've had so many confirmations that you have a model marriage. We've had so many confirmations. So your marriage has a purpose. But your marriage has a purpose with God. There's something he wants your marriage to do in the earth realm today. Amen. And you have to understand that, and you have to embrace that. We're not like everybody else who doesn't know the Lord. But God, if he puts you together, he has a purpose for that marriage in the earth realm to do something. And you may not know what it is, but trust God. All you can do is trust God. He's going to open that door for you. It may be something big, it may be something small, but your marriage has a purpose in God. Amen? So he said that. Let's go back to it here. So he said it again, and he said it was very dry. And he said in verse 3, unto the Son of Man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So God says, prophesy over my people tonight. Prophesy life. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, even to you tonight, God saying that many of you have been in turmoil situations. I hear the Lord saying to you, many of you felt like hope deferred, says the Lord, even over some prophetic words and some things he's promised you. But God says, this is a day and hour of his Spirit manifesting those things, says the Lord. God says, I want you to be a people who's ready and to call forth, God says, the promises of God from on high. I want you to be a people to look as extraordinary, by let your faith arise in this day and hour to a new level, says the Lord. I want you to be a people, says God, that can trust me, God says, even in a new level. God says, I am working hard and strong on your behalf to fulfill every promise that I promise you, says the Lord. And God says, my words will not return void, the Spirit of the Lord saying over you. God says, there's a new joy that I'm releasing over my people today, says the Lord. God says, embrace this new joy. Embrace this new peace that I'm releasing over you, says the Lord. God says, the world may be full of turmoil and strife, says God, but God says, my Spirit rules and reigns. For God says, I am still in full control, God says, of the universe, for I'm a God of all creation, says the Lord. And God says, I'm going to use my people mighty in this day and hour, for you are a kingdom people. You are a people that can hear the voice of God and release the voice of God. You are a people, God says, that I'm raised up in this day and hour to be a triumph reserve, God says, that when my kingdom will come forth, you will be you, says the Lord. God says, many of you are going to be lieutenants and generals, says the Lord. Many of you are going to be, God says, are going to be able to teach others, God says. I'm going to raise you up, God says, and I'm going to blow your mind, says the Lord. You can be greater than what you think you can be, says the Lord. So God says, let your confidence arise on who you are in this day and hour, because I've called you and I've chosen you. God says, you know, I take the foolish things to confound the wise. I take the small things, the insignificant things, God says, to raise them up, God says, what man doesn't look at. And God says, I'm going to use you. God says, I hear some of you, God, saying I'm going to use in a government arena, says the Lord. And even in civil government, God says, I'm going to use you. God says, don't think small, but think large, says the Lord. Think outside the box, says God, for this is your day and hour of breakthrough. This is your day and hour of increase. This is your day and hour of multiplication, says the Lord. God says, my love is everlasting. And God says, I love you as the people of God. God says, arise, arise, arise. Isaiah 60 says, God says, the light has come, says the Lord. Arise and rise and shine. For God says, my glory is going to fill all the earth. And God says, my glory is filling over you, says the Spirit of the Lord. So, Father, I bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. So he says, so we prophesy, prophesy life, you're prophesying purpose, you're prophesying over them, you're speaking the Zoe breath of God. Hallelujah. I love that. The Zoe breath, the holy breath. That's in Greek. Greek is breath, holy breath. The holy breath of God just spoke over you. Amen. Now, where can you get that at? The holy breath of God. You can't get that anywhere but him. He's a holy God. He's an eternal God, a God of purpose, a God of might. So let's look at verse 5. So he's prophesied to these bones. In verse 5, and the Lord said, God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into them, and you shall live. And God said, you know, some of you haven't even started to live yet. Some of you haven't even started to live yet. The fullness of what he's called you to live. Some of you have not even started to live yet. And this is an hour in time you're going to live like you never have in him. Not in yourself, but in him. There's some degrees in God that we can tap into supernaturally and spiritually that we as believers haven't even tapped into. Why? Because we're spiritual beings. And so many times we walk in the carnal state instead and the natural state instead of the spirit. And God says, if we could stay in the spirit, God says, there's things that we're going to be able to tap into that's going to blow you away and others away, says God. Because you're going to be able, as you walk by your shadow, God says, it's going to be able to heal the sick. God says, you're going to be able to see the super. He said, greater works shall ye do. God said, this is the time for the greater works for the church. Are you not the church? Are you not the ecclesia, the governing body of believers? God, it says it's your time. This is your hour of manifestation. Amen? Amen. The thing is, I remember Bishop Hammond one time said, if we could only believe the word and what everything God says we could do. And I thought about that. That's true. You know, if we could believe what God says we could do, we could do it. But we have to believe it. We have to believe, just like Paul was used, just like Peter was used, just like the disciples were able to do those great and mighty miracles, we can too. We're no different than what they are. Are you not a saint of God? Then we can do those things too. But he said, greater works shall you do. I don't know about you, but I want the greater works. You know, the greater works are happening overseas where you see miracles happening, eyes being restored to the blind's eyes. They're doing so many miracles overseas. Well, you know, why come we can't do that in the United States of America? Why come we can't do that here? A nation that had Christian Judeo beliefs that was founded upon the word of God. Why come we can't do those things here? Can we believe it? I believe God's raised up a people that's going to be able to do that because we're going to believe we can and we're just going to do it by faith. Amen? And he said in verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you and I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. they had no life in them. But God's Zoe, his holy breath, breathed in them. The same breath that was breathed in Genesis 2:7, Adam and Eve, and Adam. He breathed his Zoe life. His breath came into man, and man became what? A living soul. He became a living soul. Not with his own intellect, not with his own knowledge, but he became what? He had the mind. The mind of God. The mind of God. God's going to get to the point where we're going to have the mind of God. We're not going to use our own intellect. We're not going to use our own knowledge, but we're going to have the mind of God. You know? And we're going to have the answers that the world's needing today. You know, so many times you look on Facebook and you see Christians arguing, everybody arguing. You know, and I remember Chuck Pierce said that the iGap conference in October at Bishop Hammond's church, he was just saying, this is the time in a year that God's people's going to have the answers. But we're not supposed to just spew them out of our mouth and, you know, argue with everybody, contention with everybody. We got to have an answer right then and there. And this reminds me of Facebook and all things you see on, you know, people on television with no wisdom, Christians with no wisdom. I mean, we kill anything. You know, people, that's why they say Christians are so judgmental, because we kill anything before it's time. We have no grace. We have no mercy. We have no compassion at times. But you know what? God's going to give us wisdom, and he's going to tell us when to open our mouth and when not to. Yes. This is a year we're going to have wisdom, and sometimes if you don't know the answer, you don't have to answer right then and there. And the Lord reminded me of that, and I thought, how could that really be? And the Lord said, yeah, it can be. He said, no, I'm going to show you an example. And I remember watching a sitcom show one time, and this girl was on there talking to her father, and she ended with a statement that he couldn't answer. And she said, oh, I got you now, and then you don't know what to say. And so that night ended, and the next thing you know, it showed a scene where her and her husband was in bed sleeping, and all of a sudden he bolts in the door, and he runs in there, and he goes, he gives her the answer. He said, now, what do you think about that? He walks out. But I love the fact that he waited till he had the answer. He didn't know what to say then, but he waited till he had the answer. And he came back at midnight, and he gave him the answer. But God's going to give us the answers because, you know, we have the answers for society. We have the answers that people are looking for. But it's not our answers. It's God's answers. It's God's wisdom. It's God's revelation. And if we start trusting him instead of trusting ourselves, we're going to be able to give things that we need to give. We're going to be able to give keys to the civil government, keys to, who knows, government officials. We're going to be able to give keys. There's keys for our marriages. There's keys for our families. There's things that our families needing that you're the answer for. There's situations in your family where there's maybe division. You know, I just love it when you hear people saying, oh, well, we're going to have Thanksgiving coming up, but so-and-so may not come because she's mad at so-and-so, and so-and-so may not come because they don't get along with it. I'm thinking, wow. These are Christian people. Not the world, but Christian families. Now, you got to ask yourself, okay, now, if we're supposed to bring the kingdom, then I mean we need to get things in line. We need to get things in line. And sometimes, you know, there's nothing wrong with somebody being the bigger person and saying, you know what, enough's enough. We got to draw the line. You know, we are kingdom people. We are people of God, and we're going to come together one way or another. Why? Because the sword's coming down this year, people. It's coming down. And there's some crossroads you're going to have to do. There's some situations you're going to fix this year that you may be like, I'm not the one at fault. I'm not the one that's wrong. But God's saying, I want you to take care of it. I want you to fix it. And I remember one time in our office that it was a situation with my sister. She was on the prophetic arts team. Of course, you know, when we first started ministry, I just felt like, man, everything I said, the women just misunderstood, or they had feelings hurt. And so my sister had her feelings hurt. So she came into the office with us and everything, and she was talking to my husband because he could understand her. I couldn't understand her. So she was talking to my husband, and he was, you know, breaking it down to her. And she's saying, she just hurt my feelings. And I'm looking at her like, really? I'm thinking to myself, really? God, this is not fair. Really? And I remember sitting there, and the Lord says, I want you to apologize. I said, I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I'm really arguing with God. I'm really seriously just arguing with him, thinking, you know what? I am not going to apologize. I didn't do anything wrong. I said, Lord, I didn't do anything wrong. And he goes, I know you didn't do anything wrong. He said, but she is not going to apologize. He said, she's in pride, even though she's at fault. He said, if you don't apologize, this situation is never going to be resolved. And I said, okay, Lord, I will do it. So I really did it. I did it. Did I want to do it? No, but when God said to do it, and he explained the reason why, because it was never going to get resolved, she was still going to be hard-hearted toward it, unless I apologize, then I want the will of God done. And sometimes it just takes that. It takes someone else just saying, you know what, I'm going to fix this family situation, even though I'm not in the wrong, or our family's not in the wrong, but if this person's feeling that way, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with not getting it resolved? Because we got to be a people of God who's going to show grace, love, mercy, kindness, meekness. Galatians 5:22. Who knew? Who knew? We're just doing the Bible. We're just doing the Word of God. Amen. It's amazing to me sometimes when I look back over, you know, the Word, and I'll be like, oh, I'll be really confident and assured. Oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that in the Word. And God says, but you ain't doing that. I mean, anybody ever get that with the Lord? You know, you're just so confident in what you're doing, and you're so excited about the Word of God, and you're being obedient, and then God says, well, you ain't following that last part of that Word. I'm serious. This is time in our people of God. When you open your Bible, get ready. If he didn't come to you in the last season, he's coming this season. This that way, okay? So said, that woman said that was going to happen. He's going to come that way. Why? Because he's got to get us perfected. We're the bride of Christ. He has to get us perfected. We have to be ready without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. We can have no accusations against us as people of the body of Christ. We have to be able to say, when God looks at us and people look at us, oh, they're looking like Christ. They're acting like Christ. I can see Christ in them. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be that person. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy. But it's a process. But you know, that's what happened. God says he's gonna come to make us free. He said the truth shall make you free, right? But making is a process. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. And in the process of that, something has to shift. It's our faith. Our faith to trust God. Our faith to believe God. That God's not going to fail. So our faith has to go to a whole new level in him. How many got your faith to go to a whole new level? Amen? Yeah, it's going to go. Because the sword's coming down from heaven, and he's going to take you this year to a whole new level. Amen? One way or the other. I like what my husband used to say to our people in the church. He said, you either can go easy or you can go hard. But you're going, one way or another. But you're going. You can go easy, you can go hard. And I don't know if you know our God. He is not gonna quit. He has to perfect his bride, people of God. He has to perfect us. So you can go easy or you can go hard. I don't know about you, but I didn't like spankings when I was a child. Didn't really care for them a whole lot. My husband never liked them. He only got one. I got more than one. But he really didn't like them. Yeah, he only got one. I couldn't believe that. Yeah, I was like, boy, where he came from? I don't know anybody ever got one. Amen. But you know, it didn't kill me, didn't hurt me, but it called me to be disciplined and called me to line up. I won't even say nothing about today, what children are doing. Spare not the rod. But you know, everything we do should be in love. Everything we do in our discipline and everything should be in love. Should be in love. But some children, to be honest with you, they need to have the paddle. They need to. And you know, in society today, it's like, oh, I can't spank a little Johnny. But then you're in the store and little Johnny's running all over you. Little Johnny done tore up the cashier, the cash register, the people all around little Johnny. I'm thinking, get Johnny. Somebody get Johnny. But see, we didn't have that problem. How many from the old school? You didn't have that problem, did you? Because you knew mama and daddy didn't play. Mama and daddy did not play. And when you went into the store, you knew how to act. But I think we need to go back to teaching and training once again. Amen. Go back to teaching and training. Amen. Amen. Our children. So they can be truly godly children. Because see, everybody's under authority. That's what they don't realize, is they under authority. They want to be the authority, but everybody has under authority. God, your husband, the wife. If it's his children, you got a dog, you're under authority, the dog's underneath. But you, everybody is subjected to authority. We just got to know which file we're in, which lane. Stay in your own lane, amen? We got to stay in our own lane. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in your own lane. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get back to Ezekiel. I'm having too much fun up here. So God breathed into him, the inner to them, and the sinews in verse 6 came upon him, and the flesh and all that came upon him. And it says in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live. Come on now. God's breathing a new breath. There's a new wind blowing over his people that we can live again. We can live like we never lived before. We have to know that we was created to do extraordinary things. We was created to represent him in this earth realm, not man. We was created not to be politically correct. We was created to challenge the norm. We was created to do these things. I mean, sometimes, you know, I tell my young girls in the class that I teach, they always talk about, well, he's a Christian, Pastor Diane. I said, oh, he is? Ask him what he believes. Because you find out that majority of the Christian people that you work with don't even believe in the Bible. They don't even believe in the Bible. Well, that's the Old Testament. Some of them have even discounted the Old Testament. They don't even believe the Old Testament. They don't even believe the Word of God. So I said, no, you ask them, what do they believe? And one of them came back to me and said, oh, my God, Pastor Diane, you were right. We are a peculiar people, the Word says, a holy generation. And we don't have to apologize for that for nobody. You hear me? We don't apologize for what we believe and our stands for anybody. Not for the media, not for the government. I don't care. If they want my 501(c), they can have it. Because I serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty, the Great I Am, and he's the one who provides for me, not man. Amen? He's the one, not man. So I look to him for my source, not man. I'm not afraid of what no government can do for me. I'm only afraid of what God can do to you, because he can kill both the spirit and the soul. Amen? That's the only one I'm afraid of. I have a holy reference for the God that I serve. And I'm not going to disappoint him. I mean, I think of all the Paul and Peters and James and Matthew. I think of all the disciples and all the Christians that was martyred for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I look at our lives today and say, persecution? We don't know. The church don't know persecution today. Somebody challenges us on work and we feel like we've had a bad day. We don't know what it is to be martyred, to be filleted, to be boiled. We don't know what it is to be beaten. We don't know. But my life is supposed to be an example, because I have a testimony of my sisters and brothers who went before me, who laid truly down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to really lay down our life for the gospel of Jesus Christ today? See, that's what it's going to come down to. And you're not going to be popular if you did that. But Jesus wasn't popular. He wasn't popular. Did he care? No. I don't care about being popular. I care about serving the one true God. That's what I care about. And that's what the people of God should all care about. Amen? So he prophesied to these bones, and they came together shaking. In verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and he prophesied to the vent. Let's look at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived. They lived. They stood up to their feet, an exceedingly great army. See, that's what God's trying to raise up now, an exceedingly great army. He's going to bring a new breath in us. There's a new wind blowing over us. He's trying to raise up an exceedingly great army. We're in the third apostolic reformation. God's bringing his churches together. He's bringing his body of Christ together that we can truly work together in one accord and unity. We can truly bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Can you imagine what that will look like? We can't be divided. We can't be divided. We have to be unified. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you, he says, into a land. He said, bring us into a land of Israel. God's going to give, our God's saying, there's going to be lands this year given for those who've been desiring land. You're going to get this year. I heard God say even homes this year for those who've been desiring homes. This is your time. I mean, there's so many single women in our churches that have homes, and I remember them saying, well, you know, my credit's not good. And I told them, it doesn't matter what your credit says. We're believing God. And, you know, we prayed over them. We had them go do certain things, and when they did it, it came back. He said, I've got approved for a loan. I got a home. We have so many single women in our churches have homes. Wow. Have homes. Because we're not looking at what man's saying, we're looking at what God's saying. Amen. We're going to follow the Spirit of God. We're going to believe God's what words he's spoken over them. God prophesied, you're going to have a home, you're going to have a home. Yes. And we believe God's going to shift and change man. And so many of them. And you have to understand that God's word brings life. This is the time God said he's prospering his people, and there's going to be prosperity and multiplication coming to you in this season. Amen. And you got to believe that. You got to believe for debt cancellations. We had a lady in our church, her and her husband, he kind of lost his job, but he was working part-time, and she was making payments of $250, but she said it was supposed to be $800, but she kept making it, and they finally called her and said, what's going on? She says, well, my husband lost his job. I can just pay you $250 right now until he gets another job, and then they said, okay, and then the next thing they know, they called her back 2 days later, and they canceled a $12,000 debt. Credit card, just wiped it out. $12,000, just wiped it out. But she said, what do you do? It was a testimony. She said, we did like you said, put your hands on them and pray and say, Lord, we've been faithful givers. We've been faithful tithers. We've been faithful unto you, Lord, in the ministry. We've been faithful elders of this house. We just laid our hands on it and we decreed it. We prophesied it. We believed it. And she said the debt was paid completely in full. Wrote it off. Just wrote $12,000. I don't know anybody who wrote $12,000, especially a credit card company. $12,000. This is a supernatural time that we're in, people of God. This is it. This is a supernatural time that we're in. A favor, God's grace and favor upon you. I don't know about you, but write down these things God's going to do. Bring them to the house of God as a testimony. Bring them to the house as a testimony. So God's going to fill us with his breath in this hour. We can't see the dry bones come to life without the prophetic anointing being released into the life of his people. That's why it's so important for the prophetic life, prophetic breath of God, for prophecy to be in the house of God. It's so important because people are no longer dry. You see churches dry because there's no prophetic life. There's no unction of the Holy Spirit. There's no gifts operating in the church today. Church doors are closing. There's just senior citizens there, but no life, no young people. Why? Because young people are looking for supernatural manifestations of God. You know, they all these supernatural heroes. Why? God, supernatural? They don't even know what supernatural is. They haven't seen supernatural. They should be seen in the house of God when they come in. They should be seeing healings and miracles. They should be seeing people get up out of wheelchairs instead of believing some super comic hero. But this is a time that God's going to show himself to these young people. He just needs a people who's going to come together and show them we believe our God of miracles, signs, and wonders. We believe what he can do. Psalms 29:4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord, powerful. in the Hebrew, that literally means the voice of the Lord is a force. It's a force. So you know what? The force is with you. The force is with you. But you know what? The Lord is showing me the force is in you. Come on now. The force is in us. We got the force of God in us, people of God. We got to walk around like we know it. We got to walk around. Yeah, I can walk around strutting because I know who I belong to. I know who's in me. The greater one's in me. The greater one to demonstrate his glory and power. Amen? Amen. That's who I serve. Hallelujah. What's your name, young man? Eric. Eric, stand up for me. Can I give you a prophetic word? It's okay. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I just thank you for Eric. I hear the Lord saying to you, truly, son, this is your hour that I'm raising you up, the Lord says. God says, I've called you to be a leader, God says. And God says, I'm going to show you great and mighty things, even in the supernatural realm, says the Lord. I hear the Lord saying that you're going to dream, son. You're going to dream. I hear say that there's even visions coming your way, says God. God says, I want you to have your hand of expectation out, for I'm going to move greatly upon your behalf. God says, even your schooling, the Lord says, there's going to be many years of schooling for you. And the Lord says, it's going to be paid in full. Says the Lord. God says, you are a man of integrity. God says, you are a man that have great dreams and great hopes. And God says, son, I love your zeal. God says, I love your passion. I love your fire. God says, you just like you set the room on fire when you come in. And God says, I want you to even smile more, says the Lord, because God says that smile even ignites, God says, around others. It just ignites others to want to come up higher. And God says, even with young men, God says, they're going to start coming around you, and you're going to give them words of wisdom. You're going to help direct them. You're going to help set their course on the right path, on the right direction, says the Lord, because so many are going in the wrong direction. But God says they're going to see you as a man of integrity and a man that knows the voice of God. And God says you're going to prophesy, son. I hear the Lord saying even your prophetic voice and unction is going to a new level, says the Lord, in this hour. And God says it's just going to come out of you like a river of living water, says the Lord. And God says you're going to have accuracy when you prophesy, says the Lord. And God says many are going to come to you even at school. I just see people coming to you, you're just ministering prophetically to him. And God said it's going to bring life to those who need life. And the Lord said there's even a suicide. I just hear the Lord saying the person thinking about suicide. And God says I want you to start praying. For God says you have an ability to break down, tear down strongholds, says the Lord. And God says, son, I've anointed you, I've called you, I've chosen you. God says this is the hour, God says, that I want you to rejoice in me, says God. God says great favor is upon you, says the Lord. I just say great favor upon you. And God says I'm not going to let anything get in the way of that, says God. God says I'm going to protect you and put like a cocoon around you, says the Lord, and even those around you that will watch after your soul and watch after you to make sure you go the right direction. God says always honor authority like you do, but God says always honor authority, always honor those over you, says the Lord. And as you do, son, I'm going to raise you up higher and higher, says the Lord. So Father, I bless Eric, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see, I'm going to get a couple more people here real quick before I leave. You're a couple? What's your name? Uh-huh. Mike? Okay, stand up, Mike, for me. Can I give you a word?
Sure.
Hallelujah. Thank you. The Lord is saying, truly, son, God says, this is the hour that I'm shifting you, says the Lord. I'm shifting you to a new level spiritually, says the Lord. And God says, revelation and wisdom will be your portion, says God. And God says, I want you to open your word up. And even as you open it up now, God says, I'm going to download some things to you, God says. Some things you've been crying out for, some things you've been seeking for. The Lord says, I'm going to give you more revelation. I'm going to give you more wisdom. For God says, I'm going to use men like you, God says, in this day and hour. God says, there's a new authority coming your way. There's a new bonus coming your way, God says. And God says, I just see even that you're going to be able to territorial spirits, God says. I want you to start calling down things. It's been like the enemy's trying to come up to rob, steal, and kill from even your household. He's trying to rob and come and steal. And God says, even your life is like a testimony because the enemy tried to take you out, God says. Even when you was younger, it's like he tried to kill you. He tried to destroy you. But God says, because he knew the purpose that I have for you, says the Lord. And God says, I'm not through with you yet. God says, I'm not disappointing you. God says, there's a new joy coming into your life, God says. God says, my river of living water is going to flow over you, son. There's a new refreshing coming over you. And God says, I hear God say, don't even listen to the thoughts of the enemy about your past. But God says, your past is your past. God says, there's a new day for you. There's a new beginning for you. And there's a new hope for you. And God says, it's me. God says, I want you, God says, to elevate me. I want you to put yourself around people that love me, people around you that's going to encourage you and build you up. Not people that's going to tear you down, because God says, that's happened in the past. And God says, you know that. But God says, I want you to be more rooted and grounded in the things of my heart, says the Lord. And I want you to choose, God says, those who you want to be with and those you have to let go. God says, when I move you to a new level, there's some things you have to cut away from. There's some things you have to shift and get rid of that I can build you up higher, says the Lord. And the Lord said, there's a prophetic evangelist anointing upon you, says the Lord, where you're going to go out and minister to many. And I just see men who have been in addiction situations coming to the Lord. I see men that have felt like they're in hope, despair, men in prison. God says, you're going to be a voice for me, son, to bring those in captivity to be free, set them free, says the Lord. So God says, know that I'm going to use you in a powerful way. Know that my hand is upon you, says the Lord. And God said, the enemy thought he had you. He thought he was going to destroy you. But God says, this is your hour of breakthrough. This is your hour of freedom and liberty, says the Lord. So God says, rejoice, rejoice in me, son, because just like David, God said, you're going to dance for me. God said, you're going to dance for me. And God says, you're going to run for me. And God says, like David was a man after my own heart. God says, when I get through molding you, you're going to have kingdom heart, kingdom vision, and a kingdom purpose. And you can be like a son of David to me, says the Lord, a man after my own heart, says the Spirit of the Lord. Father, I bless him now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I want you all to stand up. I just want to pray over you that we're going to that the God's refreshing and anointing will be over you because we're not dry bones anymore. We're not living in hope deferred, but we're in a time of prosperity. We're in a time of not, the drought is over. The Lord said the drought is over. Amen. The drought is over. And don't forget, the mistakes that you made in the last season, you're not making in this season. Amen? The enemy has nothing over you. You're not making any mistakes, and there's nothing that God won't fix and won't clean up. There's nothing you have done that's too bad that God will not reach out and change things and shift things on your behalf. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for the people of God, Father, and I decree and declare, Father, breakthrough, liberty, freedom over their lives, Father. I thank you for a new purpose, a new direction for them. I thank you that they have the living water of Christ in them, Father, in the name of Jesus, the Zoe breath of life in them, eternal life in them, Lord, and they're rising up to be those people you called them to be, Father, and no devil, no demon can keep them from their very purposes of God. I thank you for their inheritances, Father. I thank you for their families, for their marriages, for their children. I thank you for their finances increasing, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, shower over their families, shower over their lives abundance, Father, in the name of Jesus, in this hour of supernatural grace. Show them who you are in this hour, Father. Give them that new identity, Father, new purpose, new vision, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for each and every one that's here today, and I thank you for new levels in you, Father, new levels of glory coming forth in their life, new anointings, Father, new giftings, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I bless the people of God now, Lord, and I thank you for this house, and I said you bless this house, Father, in the name of Jesus, and all those who come in, may they truly see and feel the pool of Siloam, may they truly be healed, delivered, and set free, Father, and be able to receive everything they need from this house, in Jesus' name, amen, and amen, amen. Amen.
All right, thank you, Diane. All right, we are going to go ahead and dismiss the prophetic teams so they can get back to their rooms and do their thing. All right, we just have a few announcements.